You are here. While our kids are being dismissed to their classes, let's everyone stand up, and I want you to find someone, say hello to them, give them a handshake, a hug, a high five, whatever, and just welcome them to our church. May mean crossing aisles here, find someone new, find a stranger, and say hello. All right, let's get back to our seats. So good to see everyone face to face, to hear your voices together, just to be able to gather together and worship God, to be the body of Christ, to be the family of God. You know, it wasn't too long ago where we couldn't do this. Remember that? Just a few years ago, we're all holed up in our houses watching church on TV screens, and we tried our best to stay connected, but we longed to be back together, didn't we? We longed to be back together in person. We were looking forward to that day and how good it is. We have a tendency to forget those times when we couldn't be together and how important it is. So I'm glad that you're here, glad to be part of this church. Glad to be able to see you face to face. If you do need prayers, we do have a couple of elders and their wives that will be available, and you can dismiss yourself during this time in the service, and they'll be more than willing to walk with you through whatever situation that you're going through. So we're doing parishioners' picks. If you're a guest today, that's when people submit to me their sermon ideas, some scriptures, and want me to preach on a certain topic or a certain scripture. And so the scripture today is a familiar one, Hebrews chapter 10, verses 24 through 25. And it really has to do with just us gathering together and how wonderful and how beautiful and how encouraging it is for us to be able to be in person together as a church family, and how valuable it is that we are able to be together, the encouragement, the strength that we get. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. And let us consider how we may spur one another on toward love and good deeds. And I hope that's happening. I hope that's happening today, that it's not just a routine that you're going through, but I really do pray that as we worship, as we sing, as we pray, as we hear the word of God, as we commune together, that this is part of that energizing force for each one of us to do the good things that God has called us to do. So we're spurring one another on toward love and good works, because we're not giving up meeting together as some are in the habit of doing, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day approaching. So this was the comment that was submitted with that scripture. I miss the people who watch online and feel we need to be reminded that we come together to encourage one another. The bottom line is, if we are able, we should be together in body as well as in spirit. And so I'm going to kind of pivot that comment, and I want to address today just how we do church in a digital age, because it is possible for us to be together in a sense. We have several people joining us online right now. There is a sense that we can be part of this body, part of this family, but not be in person. And so how do we manage that? How do we balance that? Just how do we live? This is different. I mean, it's different than when I first started preaching. I mean, when I first started preaching, I just come up here with some notes. There was none of this going on, and no streaming, nothing like that. I mean, if you wanted to hear a sermon, you had to be here. There was no internet when I first started. Believe that, there wasn't an internet, at least something that we could have access to. And so it used to be, if you wanted to sing songs of praise, if you wanted to be in church, there was only one option. I mean, you had to be there. And so things have transitioned in these last several decades. So how do we do church in a digital age? Now, when whoever wrote the book of Hebrews wrote this scripture here, they certainly didn't have in mind whether or not it was okay to do church online rather than in person. And because of that, it's not surprising that there's nothing in the Bible that gives us specific direction on online church. In other words, there's no scripture that says, thou shalt not stream thy services. Or Paul didn't write to Timothy to rebuke those who watcheth online. You know, the Bible doesn't say anything directly related to the situation that we find ourselves in 2023. And so I just want us to think, does the Bible say anything remotely related to this digital age and how we do church in a digital age? Does the Bible give us any guidance on online church and using online resources in our spiritual growth? So I want to just give you a little history of streaming, because we do stream our services. We began it out of necessity when the pandemic hit in March of 2020. We were wondering, how in the world are we going to be able to stay connected with one another? We weren't streaming our services before then. We would record the sermons and put them online, and whoever wanted to listen to them could listen to them, but we weren't streaming our services. And we had talked about it a little bit in leadership meetings, because a lot of churches were doing that. And so some of those discussions, as I remember them, were, well, it'll cost a lot of money to get the equipment. We're going to have to train people. It's going to require more volunteers. And then another part of that discussion was, you know what, we really don't want to encourage people not to be in church. And if streaming our services would do that, then maybe we don't want even to pursue that. And so before March of 2020, streaming our services, that really wasn't on our radar. Our goal wasn't to become an online church. And really, that's still not our goal, is to be primarily an online church. And so we started doing it because we have to maintain connection with the body of Christ. We didn't meet for 10 weeks because of the pandemic. And then even after that, our attendance was sluggish for several months. And so we needed to maintain some level of connection. So we leveraged the digital world to connect one another together, to bring messages and to have classes. We put some of our Bible classes online. We would interview people and just have some testimonies that we would put online, and have our Zoom meetings. And I didn't have Zoom before the pandemic. Now a lot of people have Zoom. And so we really started to beef up our social media presence as well. We had a Facebook page and we had a YouTube page, but we really started to invest more in that, put more content on both Facebook and on YouTube. For example, our YouTube page, we had one. We still do have one. We had like 10 or 12 followers, subscribers, on our YouTube page back in, say, March of 2020. And now this is not huge, but we have over 350 people that subscribe to us on our YouTube channel. And all of that was a result of us reacting to this pandemic that we all went through. And so once our attendance got back to near pandemic numbers, and we're almost back to our averages in February and March, early March of 2020, but even after we started seeing, hey, people are coming back, most people are here, even then we have kept streaming our services. So why do we do that? If we didn't think it was a good idea back in 2020 or 2019, why are we still streaming our services? Well, let me give you a few reasons why we're doing that. Number one, it's just a cultural expectation. We've adapted. The world has changed. And so we're changing with the world. People expect that now. People expect us to be streaming our services. And so because of that, the advances in technology, we adapt, just like we've adapted throughout decades and centuries in the church. We have electricity. We have a building. We have a sound system. We have video projection now. And I remember back, I think it was 1999 when we started video projection. It was like, do we really want to do that? Is that right? Does the Bible allow us to project songs on a screen rather than use songbooks? And so we went through that three decades ago. And so we do that because that's what churches do now. I mean, we want to have a digital presence in the world. It's not as expensive as it used to be. It's not as difficult as it used to be. It's a way to serve those who can't make it to church. And that was really one of the concerns back before the pandemic, why we should stream our services. Well, there are some people who just can't make it, and that would be a way for them to be able to be present in some form or fashion. And so now we continue to do that because there are some people who, for whatever reason, for health or social anxiety or for whatever reasons, just can't be in a crowd. And so we continue to serve that group of people. It's a way to serve those who don't know the church or to introduce the church to people as well. People who visit the church usually have searched for us online. They've looked at our Facebook page, our web page. They've maybe even looked at our services to kind of know what to expect. And so it has an evangelistic element to it as well. And so we continue to stream, but we ask this question, is there any dangers with that? Or what dangers accompany that? And the question that church leadership has to entertain is when the world changes and we adapt to the changes in the world, with those adaptations, is there any way that we are compromising or limiting our mission as a church? And so I want to talk about that just a little bit in conjunction with this scripture in Hebrews chapter 10. And so a question, is online church an option? Should it be an option? Some people say absolutely not. Online church, in fact, that term itself is an oxymoron. Online church, you just can't, it doesn't make sense. It's a contradiction. It's kind of like paid volunteer. Well, that doesn't make sense. You don't have paid volunteers or exact estimate. They're oxymorons. And so some people would say online church, it is a contradiction. It is not in keeping with how church is described in the New Testament. Some people would say, and this is just some quotes that I'm throwing out to you from some articles that I've read in regard to how we manage online church in our world today. Some people say the Christian life can never be fully digitized. You really can't be a full Christian if it's just online. Others would say that we need to worship with our body as well as our soul, that there's something really significant and important, essential about us being together in person, and something can be accomplished in person that cannot be accomplished online. Some people say that digital church is a consumeristic mindset rather than participation. It's just receiving rather than giving, and so that is potentially one of the dangers. Some people would say that digital interaction is too quick, too individual, too isolating, and too shallow. And so online church really shouldn't be an option. Here's a quote from someone. It's just so easy to be at home, stay in your pajamas, sip your coffee, watch the live stream, and feel like you did church, but not ever be connected with other believers, encouraging one another, and loving one another. Someone said this is one of the biggest dangers to the church that they have seen in their lifetime. Other people would say that virtual church is a tend toward non-involvement in a church. If that becomes your habit, then you become less and less involved in the life of the church, and you can't carry out what Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 say. So some people would say, no way. You can't do church exclusively, at least, or maybe at all, online. Other people would say, come on, of course you can. Of course you can do church online. I mean, you can see relationships that are built online. We're in a digital world, and you just can't, you can't ignore it, and you can't ignore the fact that people are connecting in digital, virtual places, that they're making deep relationships with one another. And honestly, we can't ignore it. I mean, if you're a church in 2023 in North America, we cannot ignore the fact that many people are meeting in digital places. And so for us to just turn a blind eye towards that would be irresponsible. And really, when I look back to 2018, 2019, 2020, pre-pandemic, that's something that I think I was doing. I was just ignoring it, hoping it would go away. It's not going away. So we certainly can't ignore it. And there are churches that are doing a really good job with creating digital virtual places for people to make these connections. Now, we're streaming our services and we're trying to do that well. It's not our goal. Like I said, at least right now, we may pivot, we may change. It's not our goal right now to be or to emphasize digital church, but there are some churches that do that. You can watch some churches online, and they will cut in to when the preacher is preaching or maybe when announcements are being made, but then they'll cut to another feed where there are people that are hosting that online service, and they're talking to the people exclusively that are online. They're encouraging people that are online to make those connections and really trying to create a community that for those people that are not physically present. So relationships can be established, some people would say, without face-to-face contact. You don't have to see someone. You don't have to shake their hands to have a relationship. You can encourage someone with text, with other ways of digital communication. You've probably experienced that to some degree. You know, you get a text, wow, that was encouraging. You know, thank you for that text. Or maybe, if you can remember this long ago, remember when we used to have pen pals? Anyone ever have a pen pal? Yeah. Three or four of you out there remember. Anyone heard of pen pal? You know, it used to be, and a lot of times this was a relationship that you might have with someone in a different part of the country or maybe in a different part of the world, and you'd write a letter, put it in the mail, it would be delivered to that person, they would send that back, and this would be an ongoing relationship for years. And even though you'd never actually met that person, there would be a relationship that was formed between those people. I started reading a book, haven't finished it, kind of bogged down in this book. It's a historical fiction book. It's called Becoming Mrs. Lewis. And it's a, it looks at all the letters that C.S. Lewis, you're familiar with him, author, theologian. He made a lot of connections with people by writing letters. And Becoming Mrs. Lewis is it's based on history, but it has some fictional elements in it as well, about how he established this relationship with this American woman. Of course, C.S. Lewis was in England, but he established this relationship with this American woman, talking about deep theological things, got into personal issues as well, but really established this relationship just by writing letters back and forth to that person. We look in the Bible, and Paul had some virtual relationships. John, Peter had some virtual relationships. They didn't text one another, but what did they do? They wrote letters. Paul wrote letters to some churches that he never went to. He wrote a letter to the book in Rome, one of the most powerful letters in the New Testament. Paul had never been there. Paul knew some people over there in Rome. You can tell in Romans 16, there's all these greetings. But a lot of the people in the church in Rome, Paul didn't know, but he established a relationship by writing a letter to those people. Same with John and Peter. Those letters, again, some of those people they would have known, but like Peter's letters to all the Christians scattered throughout the world. You know, certainly, he hadn't met all of those people, but he wanted to establish a virtual relationship with those people. So some people would say, no way, can't do it. Some people would say, hey, you can do it, and we're going to do it. We're going to take advantage of this digital world. So, is it necessary to come to church in person? Honestly, in our digital age, we can have all the content of church on a screen. Computer, phone, iPad, whatever device you use. You know what's really scary to me is that you can get on ChatGPT, and I haven't done this. I've had Sina do this for me just a little bit. But you can have AI write you a sermon. You can ask for a sermon. Can I have a sermon on Hebrews 10, 24, and 25? And ChatGPT will write you a sermon. Maybe better than the sermon that I'm preaching right now. That's pretty scary, you know? will preachers be replaced by artificial intelligence in the future? I know educators are really concerned about artificial intelligence. It's affecting churches. You can have a sermon. You can just ask ChatGPT, hey, give me a sermon. You can every week can be a preacher's pick. You just get on your device and you can have a sermon written for you. You can get a worship playlist on Spotify, and our worship is great, it's beautiful, but I mean, you can put those sound-canceling earbuds in, and you can just close your eyes, and you can just have the most beautiful praise music that you have ever heard in your life, and so you can have that. You can have communion delivered to your home. We have it delivered here, but you could get on Amazon and order yourself some communion sets as well. You can give online. You don't have to be here to contribute financially to the church. And so you can get all the content of church all by yourself or in maybe a small group at your home. But the question is, you can get the content, but can you really make the connection? Can you really make the connection? So what do we do? What do you do? What's the word of encouragement? How do we take Hebrews 10, 24, and 25 and apply it to this digital world? Does the Bible give us any direction in addition to that? Again, not specifically, but maybe indirectly. Let's start with just the word church itself. Church has come to be a very religious term. When you say church, what do you think of? You think of people gathering together like this, singing songs, praying, and doing religious things. That may be an unfortunate translation of the Greek term. New Testament was written in Greek, and so the word that's translated into church is a word just for people getting together. It's an assembly. And later on, through the changes of language and evolution of language, we came up with the word church. But really, every time you see the word church, it could just mean an assembly of people. It was used for political gatherings, just anyone getting together. And so the word church in the New Testament is referring to an assembly of people. Now, in the first century, there was no option for us to assemble, to assemble, unless they actually came together. But I think the implication is, with that Greek word, is that you're going to be there. You're not going to send a letter, hey, I wish I could be here, send me a letter back. You're not going to send a proxy to be there for you to tell you what happened. I think the implication with that word is that people are getting together in this assembly. So the word itself seems to indicate that people were getting together in person. And then when you look through the practices of the early church, I mean, they are always getting together. They're always getting together in person. I've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 passages here. I'm not going to read them all because we'd be here a long time. And I know you love to gather, but you don't like to gather that long. But if you want to look at all of these passages, they're in your sermon notes. See, we're using digital content to amplify what's happening here. But in the book of Acts, they're getting together. In fact, more than Sunday, in the book of Acts, they're getting together, looks like every day at least, at first. Again, you can look at these scriptures. If you want them, you can. I think it's self-evident. Church got together. They were meeting in people's houses. They were meeting together. They had these personal connections with one another. In the Old Testament, God had said, I'm gonna set up a place where we can come together. And so Jerusalem is chosen as a special city, a holy city. The temple is built, and that's a place where people come together. In the intertestamental times, we have the development of the synagogue. You know what synagogue means? Come together. Let's get together. It's a place to come together. And so the Old Testament, the intertestamental period, people were coming together to a place to gather. Seems to me, Old Testament, New Testament, there was something special and powerful about being together in person. Now, naturally, they didn't have an online option. And so this is speculation, but I'm thinking, if they did, would they encourage it? would Peter send out a text, hey, let's Zoom tomorrow at 8 p.m. for a prayer meeting? Maybe occasionally. I don't know. I don't know. I tend to think that Peter would say, get here. Be here. We're meeting in an upper room. We're praying together. I want to see you. I tend to think that. I think of the day of Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. Would the day of Pentecost be the same if it was live streamed to all of the Jews in the Roman Empire? I don't know. I don't think so. I think there was something special about the Jews being together and the Holy Spirit coming in that gathering of human beings. If the pandemic taught us one thing, it's this. For the most part, we kind of like to be together, don't we? We kind of like to see one another. And during those times of forced isolation, not everyone, but most of us, were yearning for the day when we could be back together in person. In fact, since the pandemic, and I'm not a sociologist, I'm not a psychiatrist, not any of those things, but what I hear from Christian leaders is that since the pandemic, rates of loneliness and depression are skyrocketing. And so people are wondering, is there a connection between the increased virtual world that we live in and these feelings of isolation, loneliness, and depression? And from what I hear, yeah, there is a connection. Something is happening to us as a society because of the digital world being so predominant. And really, this was happening even before the pandemic, ever since the smartphone, ever since social media. These trends have been seen. I speak as non-authoritative. I'm just passing on some information and observations, I mean, personal observations, and maybe you've experienced these as well. Over the years, and I think we've been right to teach this, over the years we have taught the church is not a building. You know, the church is not a building. The church is the people. And that's right. The church is the people, but may we have emphasized that to such an extent that we minimized the importance of us gathering together in a place? Is there something holy about us being here together that can't be accomplished, at least to the same degree of us all being apart or connected in a digital manner? I wrote some notes. I'm skipping that part. All right. I think, because I want to get to this, I think the most powerful argument for being together with people is the life of Jesus. When you look at the life of Jesus, he had his times alone, and those are important. It's important to be alone. We need alone time with God, but when you see Jesus, if you just picture Jesus, what would you picture him doing? Most of us would see Jesus with people. We'd see him eating with people. We see him at a wedding with people. We see him mourning with people. We see him in the synagogue. We see him at homes. We see him at dinner tables. We see him in a crowd of people. And in John chapter 1 and verse 14, as John introduces this pre-existent logos, the word, which is a term that he's using for Jesus. In verse 14, he says, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. I think that says something. The word there is he tabernacled with us. He pitched his tent. He came to our camp. And so as I look at how God has reached out to us, he came in a human being that ate with people, that touched people, that was in crowds of people. So I believe that there is overwhelming evidence, and I think we know this in our heart as well. I think we know this, that the church, to really be the church that God has called us to be, we need to be people that are gathering in person, hugging each other, shaking hands, seeing each other face to face. You know, earlier I mentioned the letters of Paul to Romans, but look at Romans chapter 15, verses 23 through 29. I have it up here. And so this is near the end of his letter. And again, Paul had not been there, but look at Paul. But now now that there is no more place for me to work in these regions, and since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and have you assist me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while. Down to verse 28. So after I've completed this task, and in those intervening verses, he talks about he's taking up a collection for the church in Jerusalem, which is suffering from a famine. And so he's going to go to Jerusalem. But after I've completed this task and made sure that they've received this contribution, I will go to Spain and visit you on the way. I know that when I come to you, I will come in the full measure of the blessing of Christ. So Paul says, I'm going to write you this letter. And it is a beautiful, powerful letter. But I can't wait to see you in person. The full measure of Christ will be present when I can see you and be with you. And then look at these verses from John. Do I have those up there? 2 John and 3 John. So John writes these letters. I have much to write to you, but I do not want to use paper and ink. Or you might, if we try to take this verse and put it in 2023, I have much to text to you, but I don't want to just use my phone. I just don't want to Zoom with you. Instead, I hope to visit you and talk with you face to face. Why? So that our joy may be complete. There's something about us seeing one another that can't be accomplished through the writing of this letter. He says very similar words in 3 John. I have much to write, but I do not want to do so with pen and ink. I hope to see you soon and talk to you face to face. You know, I mentioned that book about C.S. Lewis becoming Mrs. Lewis. You may have guessed by the title that this woman that he corresponded with eventually became his wife, Joy. And they developed this relationship by letters, but they couldn't wait to meet each other in person. Well, let me add this, and I'm running out of time, so I'm going to be quick here. Our meetings have to be personal. Because it really, if we just get together, we come out, and we don't do anything, then we're really not really accomplishing the encouraging of one another. So our meetings have to be personal. All right, so we have to shake hands. We have to hug people. We have to communicate with people. And worship, there's something powerful about us all lifting our voices together. You know, during the pandemic, me singing a song with my wife, we had a couple other people over the house, didn't quite do the same thing for me as hearing all of you sing. There's something beautiful about us being together, but it has to be personal. There's something special about us taking the Lord's Supper together. I pray that there's something special about us all hearing the word preached together, hearing these prayers and going up to that person. Man, thank you for that prayer, whatever, however it may be. But it's even going to go deeper than that, and that's why as a church we encourage you to go beyond this 1.5 hours. We have a Bible class at 9 a.m. It's more interactive than worship. We talk to one another. We gather together. We have our fellowship time in the atrium. We'll even give you donuts and coffee to try to encourage you to take advantage of that time, to make that personal connection. We have our discipleship making communities. We have Wednesday night. We're gonna bring that back in full force. September 6th? Is that right? First Wednesday in September. I think it's September 6th. But you know, in many ways, what we do on Wednesday night, I think, looks more like the first century than just what we do here. We eat together. We sit around tables. Hey, what's going on with you? What's going on with you? How's your kid? What's going on? Yeah. We get to communicate with one another. And then after that, we get into some smaller communities. We get into the Word together. Instead of just hearing one person preach the Word. Man, this week, this passage, or the passage last week was just, that just kept ringing in my ears. This means so much to me. It's so meaningful for me to hear the struggles that you're going through, because I go through the same struggles. And we get to share our lives with one another, much more interactive. And then in our discipleship-making communities, as we meet, either here at the church or in people's homes, we work through the Word together, we share our lives, we pray specifically for one another. And so let me encourage you, be here if you can, and I know it's not possible for you to be here every week, but if you can be here, I think there's such power in us being together. And Wednesday nights in our discipleship-making communities on Sundays, or whenever they meet, take advantage of those, because that's when the church is really being the church. So what are we going to do with our online presence? We're going to keep it going, because we see advantage of that. And so watch us online, follow us, like us, subscribe to us. Keep using Right Now Media, great resources. Listen to those worship playlists. Continue to do those online Bible plans. Get together on Zoom. We've had some really powerful Zoom small groups meeting together, so continue to do that. But if you are physically and emotionally able, it should never replace gathering together in person. Matt Chandler, well-known minister church in Dallas, has a lot of online resources. A lot of times as he either starts or finishes those online resources, he says, I pray that this sermon, this resource, be used by God in conjunction with you belonging to a local church. This is not church listening to me preach the word. Church is getting together in a local community. Or he might say, this is never meant to substitute God's good plan for you to be in community to be in a community of faith where the word of God is preached and proclaimed. All right, so all of you that are here, you say, we're here, Todd. What do you want us to do? There will come a time in your life where you will doubt whether or not there's any value in you coming to church on Sunday morning. There will come a time in your life where Satan will try to deceive you. You don't need that small group. You don't need that community. Pause meals. You can get a better meal somewhere else. There will be a time in your life where you will be tempted to drift away from the physical presence of the church, because many have drifted away. We're a body, we need to be connected as closely as possible. We're a family, we need to be as close as possible. God wants you to find in this body, in this family, a group of people who will help you in your faith, that will encourage you, and that you can encourage as well. That you can help in their faith, and they'll help you in your faith. We want to be a group of people who deeply care for one another. We want to walk hand in hand on this journey of life. We want to be a people who truly live out this song that we're going to sing. We want to be a group of people who truly love one another. So let's stand and sing about that.